start out, thank you all for being here. And start out with a little history. Heidi, please get out your history books and notes. Like history class, Heidi probably remembers, start talking about history and then go off on a tirade, some rant about some nonsense. Call it a life lesson, but here we are again. You notice kind of in that chapter, the day of Pentecost, in my opinion, is one of the most important events of all of history. And it is central to our lives as human beings. And this is what as we will see in Acts, you will see the paradigm of the gospel shifted. When Jesus is speaking, he's speaking of power, of the kingdom of God, of the work to be done. And it'll shift to salvation. And that is kind of the work of Paul, right? It says how many souls are saved. Jesus doesn't really talk about that. And so we get the shift into kind of this more apostolic vision of the gospel. And I believe I know why, and I'll try to explain a little bit briefly my thoughts on it. Number one, it's important to remember, in my opinion, how the scriptures come down to us. We have this idea that it's a monolithic book that was brought to us, right? Even if you are somebody who says, okay, well, Constantine and his church leaders put it together, all of us are still working under the assumption that each of the books was whole and intact when they put it together. That makes sense? So it's like they have this desk full of, okay, here's Leviticus, here's First Chronicles, here's John, here's Mark, here's this and that and the other. When in actual fact, they had fragments of these books. So you might have some scribe had written down a couple pages here, and they had another couple pages from John, and so they put those together. Did that make sense? When the Bible is being assembled, it's 300 years after Jesus has died. So imagine before the age of the internet that you were trying to find out what somebody said around the time of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. It'd be very difficult to collate those letters. Did that make sense? And additionally, you'll see the shift in tone from the people who are the main characters of the story. Peter's always there. But in the Gospels, you have James and John are the two main dudes, right? Peter, James, and John are always with Jesus, whatever he's doing. I know what Thomas is getting up to, Connie. Probably doubting, I would imagine. But those three are always there. But now we have the shift, and in the book of Acts, we will see that it's Peter and Paul and Barnabas for a little bit. And I think that's just important to remember because the scriptures, in my opinion, are a wonderful tool to be used in living our lives. But they're just a component. Even the books themselves are, we do not know the verified authors. If you were an early Christian and you were writing down things that you had heard Jesus say, and you say, this is the book of Joe Nobody, nobody's going to listen to that, right? If I show up to the White House and say, I have a meeting with the president, I'm like, who are you? Get lost, buddy. But if I'm somebody of import, if I'm, you know, Jeff Bezos or somebody, then maybe I will have more success. Does that make sense? It's important to bear that in mind because, in my opinion, the gospel is something that moves, that lives. And I would liken it to politics. Oh, here comes the deep water, Todd. The Constitution was written in a very specific way, so that it could evolve with the times. If you tried to explain to Thomas Jefferson what the internet was, his head would explode. He couldn't even fathom this idea of a global network. So the reason that's important, I was talking with my students about this the other day, and I'll try and give you a brief rundown. In the real world, if somebody is assaulted, that's a crime, and they are arrested by the police and taken to jail. But if you are assaulted digitally, is that still a crime? I don't know if you saw the documentary or knew about this case. This girl has been convicted of helping her boyfriend commit suicide. Did you guys hear about this? So the young man is struggling with suicidal thoughts, and he's explaining this to his girlfriend. It's a long distance relationship. She lives in some other town. And he says, I want to kill myself. And she's like, well, you're in real pain. You know, they're young. They don't understand. They're, you know, the darkness is in their mind. They don't see any escape. And so he's saying this to her, and she's saying, well, I think you should do it. So he goes to do it. He's gonna poison himself with carbon monoxide. So he's got like a hose or something coming out of his car and into the cabin, and he's going to turn the car on, and then the exhaust goes into the cabin, suffocates himself. Terrible. And we know all about this from their texts. So at some point, he says he's going to do it, and she says, you should do it, which is terrible advice, and she shouldn't have said that, but so far, maybe not a crime. Then he gets in the car and starts it, and he's texting her, I'm afraid. And she's texting back, stay in that car. At some point, he gets out of the car and calls her. We don't know what it says, but the phone conversation, based on their logs, is like 20, 30 minutes. Something is said where he gets back into the car, and she's texting him, do it, do it, do it. And eventually, he perishes, he dies. She is then arrested. Now, under the law, is there a law in the Constitution that says you shall not text your boyfriend to kill yourself? Well, of course not. Because when they were writing down the laws, there was no cell phones, there were no cars. So the Constitution has to adapt to the times. That makes sense? So there was a time when you could buy a person. We all agreed you shouldn't do that. And so the Constitution evolves with it. Does that make sense, Steve? The reason that's important is when the people who wrote this book were alive, there were certain assumptions made about the world. What was sinful and what was not. So false testimony, that's a sin. Buying people and enslaving them, that's all right. In Peter's prayer, he prays for my bond slaves because they're working under the assumption that people would just have slaves. That's why this cannot be the only answer. The real answer has to be a living presence that follows us as we go. Because you cannot find the answer to every question in a book that was written thousands of years ago by people we don't know. There has to be another answer. I was talking with my students, and they were talking about video games, which is, as I've said before, Steve, one of my favorite things to talk about. And one of them was talking about GTA 5. It's Grand Theft Auto 5, Mom. And in this game, Victor knows what I'm talking about. In this game, you, like, buy drugs and sell drugs to buy better cars and better guns.